Am I on now? Can everybody hear me all right? Everyone hear me? Well, I just want to begin this morning by testifying and praising the Lord for this weekend. I have personally been blessed and edified and encouraged by the fellowship and the singing and the prayers and the ministry. And the whole weekend, as far as I'm concerned, it could have just been for me. I've been very wonderfully encouraged being with the brothers and sisters this weekend. It's just been a wonderful thing. I know that for many, it's been a long weekend with late nights and travel, and some have long travel to do today. So we'll ask the Lord to help us this morning. We won't have a long message this morning. We just have a few things to share, but may the Lord help us. Can we just have a word of prayer? Lord, we do just want to commit these next few moments to You, Lord, asking that You strengthen us. Lord, would You give us clear minds, Lord, and hearing ears, and allow us to receive something. And Lord, would You bless the words of my mouth and help me, Lord, to deliver the words properly, Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank You and praise You. We commit everything to You this morning, Lord. And Lord, we do ask that You get much glory for Yourself. And bless Your people, Lord. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to that little book of Haggai. The very first chapter. It's on page 1315 if you have the original Chinese Bible like I do. First chapter, and beginning with verse 2. I'll just read some. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. And then turning in the New Testament, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Starting with verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And turning the page to chapter 15. Verses 11 and 12. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I want to read that again. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And then finally, over to James, chapter 5. And I'm going to start reading with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Well, let me put you at ease right away. Some of you are thinking, I've got all these scriptures now and I'm going to string this together into a very long message. And as John already mentioned, you're saved because I have a plane flight to catch. So this will not be a long message, but I did have some things on my heart I wanted to share. And first of all, a neat little thing happened this weekend. Last Wednesday, I think of young people from Memphis, about 20 of them, a couple of van loads caravanning together, all left Memphis on Wednesday morning and started driving up here. Now, in Memphis, we all, almost all of us live in the same neighborhood, okay? In other words, a good portion of the young people from Memphis that are here either live right next door to me in the house, right? We have what we call the brother's house right next door to me. And then right behind me is the Weaver family. The backyard comes up to my backyard. And right just a few doors down is the Stablin family. And we walk everywhere. Okay, we always walk to the meeting. We live so close to each other. We see each other all the time. Okay? So Wednesday, they left and started to drive up here. And I went to the prayer meeting Wednesday night. And when I got home from the prayer meeting, there was a message from one of the sisters just telling me that they all stopped at a hotel in Knoxville and they were all safely there together. And in fact, I called back on the cell phone just to talk to her for a minute and say hi and blah, blah, blah. This is not my daughter. I don't have any children. We'd all just seen each other. And most of us had seen each other that morning, and now they're in a hotel in Knoxville. Now, the next day, Thursday, okay, John and I flew up here. There were a lot of prayers at the prayer meeting for all the young people from Memphis traveling, and also there were prayers for John and I because we are flying on U.S. Air. There's a real possibility we're going to have to volunteer to be stewardesses on the flight to get home. So we prayed for all this, and then Thursday, John and I got on the plane. We flew up here. John Blanchard picked us up and got over to this meeting Thursday afternoon. Okay, I walk in, and there's all of my friends and the brothers and sisters from Memphis, and we all start hugging each other. Everybody came up to me, oh, how's your flight, and hugging each other and all glad to see each other, the brothers and the sisters. I'm so glad to see. And several people who normally don't pay any attention to me at home came immediately over to me and gave me a hug and how was the flight and everything. And I felt the same way. You know, and here's the thing, it's an amazing thing. It was this Thursday afternoon now, and they left on Wednesday, and here we are excited to see each other. It's an amazing thing that when we go somewhere else, other than home, just we're the same people. We just went to a different place together. It's for some reason that I can't fully articulate. It just makes us appreciate each other. And it's really neat. It's really fun and neat and rewarding. I mean, it's kind of a metaphysical blessing. You know, the people you live with and you see them every day, you go somewhere else and for some reason it's different. And you're just happy to see each other. I love that. The same thing happens when I come to the conference.
I also love see the guys that I see every day. I see them every day, so I don't see the changes in their life. But some, there's a few people in this room I've known since they were 12 years old who are now grown and married. I used to play basketball with them when they were kids, and now they're grown and married and got their own kid. That's pretty neat. So when I see you guys, it's like a timeline. And it really reminds me of how quickly time is going by. And in both cases, I'm reminded not to take people for granted. You know, the Lord's house suffers, I think, in these days from a couple of things. One, we're so busy. And the other thing is that sometimes we just take the Lord's people for granted. You know, the very precious thing that the Lord's given us, each other, and made us family. Because we're so close to each other, we take it for granted and we forget about each other. Okay? That's one thing. And the other thing is we're so busy. So busy doing legitimate things, good things, necessary things, talking on cell phones, checking fax machines, getting emails, driving to the office, so stressed out and therefore planning and worrying about our next vacation. We're so busy doing things that we don't pay attention to each other. And that's a big deal because we're the body of Christ. And I think the real problem is when we're too busy to pay attention to each other, where it's a symptom of a greater problem, and that is we're not paying attention to the Lord. It's an amazing thing. The Lord said that He wants His joy is in us, and He wants it to be made full. Also, that scripture in John 14 that we read, where the Lord says that those who love Him, He will disclose Himself to them. He will disclose Himself to them that love Him. You know what that means, that word for disclose? It means to intimately reveal and let oneself be known. We talked a little bit at the conference. We talked a little bit, both John and I both talked about this fact that you don't let everybody in the world in on your intimate secrets. You'd be a fool if you did. And if you knew 100 people on a first name basis, most of them, when they asked you how you're doing, you'd say hi, and they'd say hi. How are you doing? Okay, great, good to see you, blah, blah, yeah, right, bye. Let's have lunch, you know, yeah, sure. But as you go up that pyramid of the people that you're actually closer to, you share more and more things. And when you get to the top of that pyramid, of the people that you're the closest to, and in my case, it would be my wife. Well, that's the person that the Lord's given me to share everything with. I mean, it was to become one flesh with. And we share everything. All the good stuff and the difficult stuff. Everything. And I want her to know everything about me, and I want to know everything about her. And not just her, but other people that I love and have great affection for and that the Lord's given a special relationship with, it's more trustworthy. And we know things about each other. It's a more trustworthy relationship. The Lord has made us in His image. We need to love and we need to receive love, don't we? We have the desire to give affection and to receive affection. And I think so many times, I think it's possible, even for us who've been given so much, to forget about the reality that our Lord wants to be loved. Being here this weekend with the young people and talking and hobnobbing and having fellowship with old people, old friends, yes, thank you, made me think of when I was younger, a long time ago. And some of us talked about how things seem to be different today with our young people than they were for some of us when we were young. I'll just briefly tell you that when I was young person in my 20s. The Lord got hold of me, brought me out of Egypt, and gave me a radical conversion. And I was going on a surfing trip one time right before I was going to get married, and I just went to a Christian bookstore. I didn't know nothing from nothing, but my eyes fell on a certain book called The Release of the Spirit by Watchman Nee. I don't know why I chose that book. Well, yes, I do. Holy Spirit, John. I took that book. I took it to Barbados for 3 weeks. I started reading that book. It changed my life. Totally changed my life, reading that book. And then I began to meet other people that, guess what? The exact same thing had happened to them. It was that they read that book or some other Watchman Nee book, totally set us on a course that affected our whole life. And not only that, the Lord gave us a desire for Him personally. He did. He gave us a love for Him. We didn't know anything. Didn't understand anything. But the Lord gave us zeal for Him personally, a love for Him, a desire to find out more about Him. Not just to find out more head knowledge, but just we didn't know anything. We knew we didn't know anything, but we were zealous to find out, to have a relationship with Him. And we also got zeal for His house. We got zeal, many of us, for this matter of building the Lord's house. And then what happened is many of us met each other and met some older brothers who were radical, and many of us were radical Christians, and we moved, many of us moved all across the country to be with other people to pursue building the Lord's house. And, you know, we were zealous. We were going to do something, and it was real. Now, we weren't very bright, and we made a lot of mistakes, and which I regret none of them, by the way, because the Lord used them all in my life. There's no bitter pill for me personally or for my wife. In fact, when my wife was younger than many of you in the room when she married me, my wife and I fell in love when she was 19 years old. And I waited for her to turn 20 so I could marry her. I didn't want the stigma of being married to a teenager. So as soon as she got 20, we got married. And shortly thereafter, we sold everything we had, moved all the way across the country, and lived with a radical group of people, and we lived, had everything in common, and we were trying to be like the first century Christians, and we did all this stuff. Hey, and by the way, it was a lot of fun. It was really wonderful and exciting. For me, it was great. I enjoyed it. It was neat. Now, there were difficulties for sure, and problem. But in the beginning, I'm telling you, we were radical, and it was exciting, and it was a lot of fun. And then something happened as all the brothers saw the sisters, that they were beautiful, and got married, and started having children. Interesting thing, I learned, even though I don't have any children of my own, I've lived in homes with other children. I lived in a house with 10 people and some babies who are grown now and have their own babies, and I still know them. And I know how to change diapers. I've changed lots of diapers. In fact, it's kind of fun to meet somebody sometimes who's a grown person who doesn't know you, you know, because they were a baby. And I love and somebody says, oh, that's old so-and-so. Do you remember her? And I love to go up to that person and say, hey, you don't know me, but I saw you naked. I'm sorry for saying that. It was no problem to have a baby, and we found out you can be a radical Christian and have babies. In fact, they're like dolls. We used to take them to the beach, and you wrap them up so they don't get sunburned. Somebody's got to watch them while the rest of us are out surfing. But you can do anything with a baby. You can put it in the car. It doesn't eat too much. This bathroom thing is a little bit of a problem. But the real problem comes when they start walking. Right? They start pulling things off the shelves. You got to watch them. And they're all trying to get away. You got a real problem when they start walking. And another problem happened after this is that Mama, who loved the Lord with all her heart, got tired. She started getting tired and a little cranky. And that makes husband a little cranky. and a little tired himself. And then a real phenomena happened that had never happened before. After a little while, a few years of this, Mama wanted to do something we'd never done before, and that is she wanted to go out for dinner. So every once in a while now, we're going out for dinner because she needs a break from all the stuff of the day. And then another thing happened. We all of a sudden, the kid's eating more. He needs more clothes. He needs bigger shoes every week. Things are happening. We had start worrying about college. And I didn't have any of this worries personally. I'm just going through it with other people, and I'm that kind of person, you know. If your knee hurts, my knee hurts. And all this stuff starts happening. And to make a long story short, here's what actually happened to us. We woke up one morning, and we'd forgotten about the very thing we were pursuing in the first place. We were so caught up in the needs of this life, so worried about making a living, so concerned with acquiring more things. So it was all reasonable stuff, you understand. Taking care of our family, providing for our family. It's important to provide for your family. But we got so caught up in things that we lost our joy. We lost our peace. And for many of the brothers and sisters, life became a course of work and activity. Not sinful things, not wicked things, things that are totally justifiable. Only we found our life being choked out of us. Now, here's the interesting thing. For many of us, when we were young, we probably had a little bit of pride. We prided ourselves a little bit as being those who had come out of Babylon. And we were those who read all the Watchman Nee books. We knew Stephen Kong personally. You know, we were people who weren't like other people. We were Christians on the cutting edge a little bit. We sort of, you know what I mean, we sort of saw ourselves a little bit as being on the cutting edge, being people really after the Lord's purpose, being a remnant like those who had gone before us. And I'll tell you something, I think that the Lord had really revealed something to us that was real, something on His heart for Himself. But somewhere along the line, we lost sight of what was real. We lost sight of the whole thing. We lost our joy, many of us, lost our peace, lost our purpose. We forgot the very thing that had set us on this course in the first place. And what we found that we needed was simply to return to our first love. Simply begin to love the Lord and to confess that we lost something and that we weren't who we thought we were. You know, I think sometimes some of us have wasted so much time trying to pretend that nothing's been lost. You know, sometimes in our assemblies we live in denial and we keep trying to prop things up as if everything's just fine when it's not fine. And if we would simply come to the Lord. Repent. Confess. Lord, I need You. I need You. I don't know as much as I thought I did. I don't have as much vision as I thought I did. I don't love You as much as I thought I did. Lord, would You give me more love for You? Will You help me? And I think when we come with that heart, that we become spiritually in a right way like young people all over again. And the Lord begins to bring back that joy. And that peace and that zeal for His house. And we begin to realize things that were revealed to us many years ago that we've forgotten and somehow slipped away or even made into a tradition. And they begin to come back to us as a kind of reality. We talked a lot about Jacob, or a little bit about Jacob, this weekend, how he went on his own journey. And how the Lord worked in his life, stopping him in his tracks, making him, as he was dying, a worshiper, leaning on his staff. Jacob came from one called of God, who lived in his own strength, the Lord turned him to, through many circumstances and trials, to one who really knew what it was to worship. Brothers and sisters, I just have it on my heart that we not be people who are too busy to build the Lord's house, that we're not people who have gone astray on a journey and forgotten the thing that the Lord really had for us in His first place. It's always good to ask ourselves a question, you know, kind of like Ed Koch used to do when he was the mayor of New York. I understand he used to go around the streets of New York City and say to people, "Hey, how am I doing? Ed Koch, your mayor, how am I doing?" I guess people told him what they thought. It's a good thing to ask the Lord. I mean, to really ask the Lord, "Lord, how am I doing?" I'm not talking about being introspective or anything like that. It's a good thing to be before the Lord and say, "Lord," to say what David said, "Lord, is there any hurtful way in me? Lord, is there something in me that's a problem that I'm not aware of, that I don't see very clearly? And by the way, the nature of things is that when there is a problem, you're the last one to see it. The brothers and sisters will see it in you before you do, and you'll see it in them before they do. But ultimately, we need to have the Lord reveal something to us. Now, here's the test. I believe the great test of building the Lord's house, of maintaining the Lord's house, of maintaining the testimony, of maintaining the joy. It's this command that the Lord gave. "I command you to love one another." And He didn't stop there. "Just as I have loved you." I really appreciate it. Little things. I appreciate it. When I came up here on Thursday afternoon, saw the brothers and sisters, and received a little affection and a little appreciation. I appreciate that so much. It's a good thing. And I recognize myself. I don't want to take the brothers and sisters for granted. But it's real possible that we can take each other for granted. And you know what the real issue is when we do that? You know, when I take you for granted, you know what I'm really doing? I'm taking the Lord for granted. I'm taking the things that the Lord has given me for granted. That's really what tradition is. Is we take real things, in many cases good things, proper things, things that were initiated and originated by the Holy Spirit, but then, everybody knows this, we make it a thing. It becomes our thing. It just becomes a place to rest on, and it loses its reality. It loses its spiritual edge. And then it becomes something completely different than what it was intended to. Well, you know, when we look at church history, and I have looked at some church history, enough to see that this journey that you and I are on about building the Lord's house and maintaining a testimony of the headship of the Lord Jesus on the earth, well, looking at church history, it's impossible, isn't it? I mean, we're like people on a ship launching out to go discover a new world, only we happen to know that there's been 1,000 ships launched before us and none of them have come back. Only a few gnarly guys washed up on the beach, barely clinging to life on broken pieces of ships, saying, "Don't go!" It's a perilous journey. You know what I'm talking about if you've read any church history. The Lord gets a group of people, gets a man, reveals something to somebody, something begins to happen. It's real, it's real, it's glorious, it's exciting, it's wonderful. And 2 generations later, where is it? It's gone. all the names there. There might be a meaning there, but the reality of the thing is gone. And then the Lord reveals Himself to somebody else, someplace else, begins to raise something up, begins to do something. It's exciting, it's real, it's wonderful. One or two generations later, it's gone. Well, maybe they got a statue, a building, something, but the spiritual reality is gone. Well, I'm concerned about this. I am very concerned about this. I'm serious, and I'm more concerned about me and the place where I live than I am about you and the place that you live. I'm being honest. This is a real concern I have about myself. Not because I see anything wrong with the place that I live, and not because I'm aware of any problem in the place that I live, but I know this one thing, that if I stop loving the brothers and sisters, the testimony will be lost. It's so simple. If I lose sacrificial love for the brothers and sisters, the testimony will be lost. Part of the problem in our organized society, and it's not just us as Americans, I see this all over the world. Maybe it's a human issue. We just have more technology than most places, although we don't have as much technology as they got in Japan. They're way ahead of us. We have everything so organized. I mean, it's our mentality, isn't it? I mean, because of business, because of technology, we're on a fast pace. We're thinking about how to get everything more and more organized. It's supposed to simplify our life, right? The cell phone was supposed to make our life more simple. I'm proud to announce that I don't have a cell phone. I do have a computer that one of John's sons got at a garage sale and put it together for me so I could receive your emails. The things that are supposed to simplify our life have actually made our lives more complicated, haven't they? And they actually wind up sometimes draining the life out of us. I was thinking about there's so much to do, good things and unnecessary things. I challenge young people in Memphis with something. Oh, I do it every few years because I get a new group of young people every 2 years. And I've challenged them with something that's a reality to me. I'll mention it to you. I like to have fun as much as the next person. I like to be entertained as much as the next person. But I'd like to offer you to do something, okay? And that is some Friday night, and this isn't just a deal for young people. This is a deal for everybody. Some Friday night or Saturday night, when you're bored, maybe that little bit of loneliness comes in and just dissatisfaction with the things the way they are, and you start thinking, I think I'll go to the movies. I need to get out and go to a concert or do something or turn on the TV or do something. I'd like to challenge you just one time to try this, and that is to say to yourself, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to sit here in silence. And I'm going to open the Scripture and say, Lord, will you have fellowship with me? Or I'm just going to sit here and pray and just have a few words with you, Lord. Lord, can we just have some fellowship together for a little while? And I tell you, I believe that if you try that the Lord will meet you in a way that you did not expect. And your understanding of fellowship with the Holy Spirit will be increased. The problem with us is that we've lost our consciousness, our spiritual God consciousness. You know, this is the thing in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, when you begin to have the Cain line, which we went over with the young people, you begin to have the Cain line. They're inventing things. They're doing things. And you have the Seth line, the Enosh line, weakness. You have one line that's doing everything, inventing things to make life easier and simpler. It's man's ideas. You have another line that's weakness. And it says, you know, right after Enosh is born, whose name means weakness, then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And sometimes weakness is the thing that leads to spiritual awareness, isn't it? It's the very thing that keeps us in the way. I want to, the reason that I read these scriptures from James, I was thinking about this yesterday a little bit and last night. Now, I don't know what you thought when I read these verses from James. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Do you believe that? Don't anyone answer that. Do you believe that? That if you confess your sins to someone, that you ought to? And that if you do that, it could actually have something to do with your healing? Let me tell you why we don't do that. First of all, we're so proud, aren't we? Oh man, the last thing I want anybody to know is that I got a problem in my life. Man, what will the brothers and sisters think of me? I got an image to hold up here. If people find out that I got a problem in my life, man, I might lose my ministry. Who do we think we're fooling? What do we think? We think God's a man? He's spirit. There's nothing hidden from His sight. Not only that, there's a day coming when He's going to bring into the light everything hidden in darkness. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, brethren, don't go on judging before the time, judging improperly, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and will reveal the motives of men's hearts. Oh, I'm concerned about that. And then each man's recompense, payment. This is not about salvation. We're already saved. This is about the judgment seat of Christ. Each man's reward. Salvation is not a reward, it's a gift. But the Holy Spirit says here, in that day, each man's recompense will come to him from God. It's going to be based on the things hidden in darkness and the motives of men's hearts. I don't know the motives of my own heart, but I know this one thing. If I will love the brothers and sisters, and if I will love the Lord, everything will be all right, and I won't fool myself. The reason that loving the brothers and sisters and loving the Lord is so attached to each other is because, as our brother said last night, we're so slippery we can fool ourselves. You see, I can justify not loving you by the way you treated me. I can justify not confessing my sins to anybody because I think you're worse than I am. And I think I can justify all sorts of things. But when I trust the Lord and entrust myself to Him, the bond of things that have a stronghold in my life are broken. Some of the people that I respect most are people who come to me in private and confessed some sin. Didn't have anything to do with me. It was some secret thing in their life that I did not know about. And I would have never known had they not told me. It wasn't for my sake that they told me. I didn't need to know about it. It was between them and the Lord. And do you think it made me disrespect them? You think I was shocked? It made me respect them more because they were violent to themselves. It made me appreciate them more. It makes me appreciate the body of Christ more. You know, we usually don't read the scripture about the elders because the anointing with oil, it may cause controversy or something. I don't know what the practice is in other places. It's not the elders who heal people. And it's not the oil that heals people. It's the prayer offered in faith. When you go to people who the Lord's given watch over your soul and confess something or ask for prayer for something or have counsel or ask to be anointed with oil, you know what you're really doing when you do this? It's not some heavy authority thing. It's not some strange thing. You know what you're really doing when you do this? You're basically saying to the Lord, Lord, I trust you. It's you I trust, Lord. I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm going to do this thing that you've given us to do in the body of Christ that brings healing about. Brothers and sisters, our physical condition is related in some way to our spiritual life. We think of everything as being human and physical, and sometimes we're just oblivious to the spiritual life. But actually, the spiritual is the most important thing. Well, this was a simple word this morning, and really, I just have it on my heart more than anything else. And I was reminded this weekend of how good it is to appreciate the brothers and sisters and not take each other for granted. And when I say not taking each other for granted, I'm not trying to be politically correct or something like that. The reason we shouldn't take each other for granted is because when we do, we're taking the Lord for granted. But when we love the Lord and keep His commandments, and His commandment is that we love one another. If you say you love Him, boy, if you say you love Him who you have not seen, but you don't love your brother who you have seen, you're a liar. That's a strong word. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, you're a liar. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Well, why does He make it so strong? Why does He make it so blunt? Because it's the proof of how I'm doing. Why does the Lord put me with people who don't appreciate me and don't respect me? Why does the Lord put me with people who rub me the wrong way? Why? It's so that I can know how I'm really doing, so that I won't be deceived about myself, so that I won't be fooled about my own spiritual condition, so that I can see myself as I really am. It's a mirror. Just like it was for Jacob when he woke up that morning after working 7 years for beautiful Rachel and woke up the morning after the wedding and realized he'd been tricked. He was with Leah, the older sister, and he went to Laban and he said, "Why did you do this to me? How could you do this to me?" Laban said, "Oh, it's just business. It's just our tradition. The older girl has to be married first, that's all. It's nothing personal." You know what happened to Jacob? You know what's going on inside of Jacob spiritually. You know what that's about. You know why the Lord allowed that to happen to Jacob? Because he was seeing himself in a mirror. And that's what the Lord has done with you and I. He's put us together specifically in His house in a building process that causes us to see ourselves in a mirror. May we love one another and thereby prove our love for the Lord. And when we do, the Lord will disclose Himself to us, intimately reveal Himself to us. And really, this is the key and the door to building His house and to our zeal for His house being in the right place. May the Lord build His house in these last days. We're all in that building process. May we be fully engaged. We all desire to have vision, and we desire for our loved ones to have vision. Let's encourage one another, not just to seek the things, but to seek the Lord and to love Him. And the one who is vision will surely bring it to us. Again, this morning, I just want to testify before you and before the Lord that I've been so encouraged these last few days. So personally blessed to see the Lord's people doing business, to sense that the Lord's people have been doing business. I wasn't here for all the testimonies and everything, had some personal time with people. But I sensed even coming this week that many of the Lord's people are in a particular spiritual kind of season. You know, season has a beginning and an end, and it's a period of change. And I sense that many of the Lord's people are in a kind of spiritual season. And I really believe that many of the brothers and sisters this weekend, not because of the things we shared, but because of the Holy Spirit moving and working, I believe that brothers and sisters are turning a corner, taking a stand, seeing something, doing business with the Lord, making a decision. It's very, very wonderful and encouraging. Nothing could be a greater blessing. So praise the Lord for all that He's doing, all that He will do. Brothers and sisters, let's don't take each other for granted. Let's love one another more than we have in the past. Have the Lord do all of His work in our lives in these last days. Let's pray. Lord, we do just want to thank You. Praise You, Lord. It's You who builds Your house. Lord, it's You who keeps us and who has kept us. You've been so faithful to us in these days. Lord, we just want to give You honor and glory for all that You've done. Lord, our testimony is that You've been faithful to us, revealing Yourself to us. And Lord, the more we see, the more we want to see. The more we hear from You, the more we want to hear. Lord, give us burning hearts. Cause us to be those who want to run after You and follow You wherever You go. Lord, get much glory for Yourself. Allow us to be there, Lord, receiving, hearing, recognizing You, just like our brothers on the road to Emmaus. Lord, we do tell You that our hearts are burning within us. Lord, we love You. We appreciate You. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Amen.